you certainly have noticed that
the X or the Twitter?
Yeah.
The How X. old are you?
The X or the Twitter, whatever you want to call it. That if you.
Welcome back to the Unrestricted, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi there,
Bob and Wally.
I finally showed up today.
Yeah, you're a little late, pal.
I was tardy.
Yeah. Well, you forget to set your alarm clock, and that's what you get. Like you're a 9-year-old.
You know what? It's funny you said that, because yesterday I'm trying to do a couple of different things after taking a Benadryl the night before. Didn't give myself enough time, and I ended up getting late to my food truck stop last night. And a woman says to me, she says, how long before you open up the window? I said, oh, it'll be about 10 minutes. She says, you know, you're late. And I wanted to give her the finger.
No. No, that just means she wants your food, bro.
No, that's not what she wanted. She says, you're late. First of all, I'm a 60-year-old man. I don't need anybody telling me that I'm tardy for something. Nobody. I already know that I'm late.
Don't be
and I'm
so
rushing.
Sensitive. She wants to eat your food.
She never
you
came
lose
to
the customer?
She never came to, I don't give a shit. It's one customer. Who gives a crap? She never came back.
Wow. You're not going to get nominated for Serviceman of the Year, are you?
I take care of my customers terrifically, better than anyone else. My truck is unbelievably clean. Unbelievably clean. Always use gloves. I don't handle money and then make your sandwich with the same gloves on like they do at, I don't know, a million restaurants in San Antonio. I don't do that. I take care of my customers.
Okay.
And that woman gave me an attitude, then I gave her an attitude back. I said, shit happens. And she walked away, and I never saw her again.
You gave someone attitude? I am surprised.
I know, shocking. I'm totally shocked.
Shocking, huh?
Shocking.
All right, let's get to the world of sports, because there's a lot of cool stuff going on.
Okay, go ahead.
It's been an interesting week for the Spurs. There's a lot to talk about there. Very interesting week for the Dallas Cowboys. Lots to talk about there. The rest of the NBA, the rest of the NFL are all interesting to me right now, and we're coming into March Madness. I asked you guys, first thing when I get in here, hey, have you guys filled out a bracket? And your answer
was no.
I don't have to fill out a bracket until Thursday morning.
That's exactly right.
What the fuck is wrong with you two?
Thursday at noon is my deadline. It's always been my deadline. I don't care about the first four. They're playing games.
Oh, that's wrong.
But you haven't even looked at the matchups yet?
I have not.
I've looked. I've glanced. Okay. I've watched a lot of chatter about it, but I haven't started to fill out one.
What are y'all doing? This is the most wonderful time of the year.
It certainly is, but that doesn't mean I have to start it on Tuesday. And I disagree with Bob. The Tuesday games are relevant, and they are part of the tournament. So are the Wednesday games. And anybody that thinks otherwise is a knucklehead.
I did not think so, Walter, when it first started. But now I really enjoy it.
The games are just as exciting as the games on Thursday. So what's the difference?
A lot of times they're more exciting. Yeah. I agree with you. The last couple of years, it's been great on the Tuesday, Wednesday.
And there's a number. The team that plays in the first four is able to make it to the next weekend, whatever the hell it is. But so you're going to see a good team play on Tuesday and Wednesday and probably win another game.
And if you're a Texas Longhorn fan, you are going to draw one of those play-in teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be University of Virginia. So you better be paying attention, because Virginia is good enough to beat Texas. And Texas just isn't that good. They could lose to anybody. And that's one of the stories of this tournament, by the way. A lot of Texas teams in there, 6 to be exact. I'm not sure that any of them other than Houston are going to have a great showing. They did not get good draws. None of the Texas schools did.
I have heard a lot of people picking Houston through quite a bit on their brackets.
They're such a veteran team. Their guards are so experienced. It wouldn't be surprising at all for me if Houston won it all. I have them in the final game in both my brackets. They could win it all. They could also get beat. They've had a hard time scoring. Mm-hmm. I mean, Iowa State held them to 28 points the other day.
Well, that's
28.
That's the game for me. Are we going to take the Houston Cougars as the team that lost to Iowa State, or are we going to take them the team that's been dominant the entire season? And it sounds like a lot of people are it's UConn over over Houston.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most popular pick. And UConn's the most dominant team in college basketball. They have been most of the year. I think they have the best roster in college basketball. They're big. They're talented. They play great basketball together. They're really, really good. I mean, but to go back-to-back is extremely hard. And sure. the committee guys, did UConn absolutely no favors. They are in by far the hardest region.
Yeah.
I cannot believe what a fucking patsy bracket the NCAA tournament committee gave to Purdue and North Carolina. Those guys,
sons of bitches.
Those teams are not that good, Walter, but I can't find a team in their bracket that's going to beat them. You look at UConn's Eastern bracket, UConn is good. Auburn is really good. Good enough to win a title.
2, 3, and 4 seeds in that bracket are very difficult.
Are all good enough to win the whole damn thing. Yeah. I have Illinois in both my brackets winning it all, but that's contingent on them having to beat Iowa State and UConn at some point. That's too hard.
Here's probably the number one reason why I haven't picked a bracket yet is because my competence for doing these brackets now is at an all-time low. And that's considering I am a 2-time champion of the bracket challenge at Ticket 760. I won it twice. I won a good amount of cash doing it. And it just is just so many. It's not that it's upsets anymore. It just there seems to be a lot of equality in these in the level of talent on these teams nowadays, and it's really difficult to pick.
It's equality, it's parity, and it's no fear.
Yeah,
I mean, and this is probably the last 15 to 20 years. It's an outgrowth of AAU. It's the fact that, you know, if you're a kid playing at Stetson, and you're playing UConn. You may very well have played some of these kids at UConn in high school and AAU. So you've seen them. Yeah. You have no fear.
But you know, I think that's true.
I'm not picking Longwood, however.
No.
I never heard of Longwood.
I have, but not the school.
No, on a Tuesday during the wintertime, yeah.
Look, we went most of our lives, the three of us, where a 16 had never beaten a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our lives. And now we've had 2 in the past, 6 years?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
don't
it's,
pick it, though. It,
no, do never pick it, but it can happen. And the proliferation of the 3-point shot makes winning and losing a lot more volatile.
Yeah, don't sleep on BYU.
BYU is nice.
Good shooting team.
BYU is nice. They could also lose first round.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to pick. I get it, Wally. But it's, I don't know. I think it's the most wide open tournament field that I've seen in a long time.
Since last year. It just is. It's. I don't know when it changed. I don't know if there was a singular event that changed everything. But the March Madness is so wide open every year now. It's, you know, I mean,
one and done AAU transfer portal.
And I mean,
St. Peter's getting in there, and Florida Atlantic getting as far as they did. It's crazy. There's no longer a Cinderella because it's one after another that has an opportunity.
Yeah, you're right. It's not once every other year, is it? It's every single year there are Cinderellas.
And so it makes you think about what we have here locally. At least it does to me. You know, locally with UTSA is obviously they move on from Steve Henson this week and bring in somebody named Austin Claunch, who I've never heard of.
He's from Alabama. He's an assistant coach from Alabama. And I love the way Alabama plays basketball. If he instills the way Alabama plays hoops at UTSA, we are in for a show.
I don't know if it's about in this profession now is whether it's about your style or what players you're able to bring in that will dictate the style you have. Because to me, UTSA should be a run and gun team. They should be jacking up threes wherever they can.
That's what Alabama does.
Because that's the only way. That's the only way that this team is going to be exciting enough for somebody to go and watch them, and then maybe that branches into a new arena and better facilities, and then you become a better franchise. But
I really don't have any problem
with not knowing who this is, because you're not going to bring in a coach that has any notoriety whatsoever at UTSA.
No, it's not UT. It's UTSA. Yeah. You're going to get an assistant coach that you've never heard of. But I love him coming out of the Nate Oates program. Alabama under Nate Oates has been like a Mike D'Antoni of college basketball. I mean, it's three-pointers and layups, no mid-range shots. They go fast. They play up-tempo. And I think, Walter, because of that style at Alabama, they've been able to recruit much better because they're playing that style. And hopefully—
because guys like to play that.
They do. And hopefully it'll work that way for UTSA. I think it's great.
I thought Steve Henson was going to do that here, and I asked him when he had his news conference that day when he was here, and he said that's what they were going to do, whatever transpired, whatever changed, he never got there. Listen, we'll see what happens. But as he said at the press release, I don't think it'll take a long time to be really good. And I thought it was an interesting statement by him, because to me, that's a conference title contender and yearly postseason, whether it's the NIT, the NCAA, whatever, March Madness, whatever. I don't know what is when he says a long time to be really good. What is a long time?
That's conference championships.
Is that 3 years?
Yes, in 3 years.
So in 3 years, we should expect them to be a contender.
I think that's what he's setting himself up for.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
Something that just popped into my mind, and I got to go off on it real quick.
Uh huh.
Did y'all see where Kansas got seated?
No.
Four. They're a four. They got hammered. In the Big 12 conference tournament. They finished sixth in the Big 12 behind Texas Tech. Texas Tech did well, got to the semifinals of the conference tournament, and had a better record, and had a better conference
record. Reputation. To me, it's about reputation. It's about what Kansas
is. It's about
Kansas
the jersey.
Is, and I got no problem with that.
I think it's stupid as shit.
Why?
Why should they get a four seed?
Because Kansas has done it year after year after year. And so you do it one season, you should get a better seed. Screw that.
Texas Tech's been pretty good for a pretty long time now, too. It's not Morehead State, for God's sakes. And they're playing in the same conference. Texas Tech finished in a tie for third in the conference. Kansas was sixth. What are they doing getting two seeds better than Tech? That's garbage,
man. Then go win a bunch of games.
I hope they will, but let me tell you what. They gave Kansas an easy road. Kansas in the second round is likely to get Gonzaga, and Gonzaga's way down from other Gonzaga teams.
Yeah.
Way down. Meanwhile, Texas Tech gets maybe the hottest team in the country first round in North Carolina State. Mm. I mean, it's totally fucked. Totally fucked.
Now, listen, they're 5-point favorites. Go win the game.
Yeah, they should. I hope they do. Texas A&M, I think, got a really tough draw. They have really good guards. The Aggies do. They have to go against Nebraska. Nebraska has really good guards also. Have y'all seen the Japanese guard from Nebraska?
No.
His name's going to escape me.
Jeremy Lin.
Nice.
He's not Japanese. So we can start with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Racist much?
No, I'm not a racist. I didn't know Jeremy Lin was Japanese. What do I know?
Some people call him the Japanese Steph Curry.
He doesn't know that I'm Italian and Scotch, so there you go.
I wouldn't know that either. Scotch?
Scotch, yeah.
Of all things.
Yeah. Of all things, why?
Yeah, oh. I don't know.
Definitely more than a part Scotch.
Yeah. They're calling him the Japanese Steph Curry, and I've been watching him all season, guys. He can really light it up. He's got a left-handed stroke. He gets it up really quick. He's super talented. The Aggies didn't get any favors. That's a great backcourt matchup.
I'm going to have to back you up there a little bit. You said really quick and stroke in the same sentence.
Oh, no.
Yes, he did.
Keisai Tominaga.
Tominaga, yeah. He's really good, y'all.
What happened to really quick and stroke?
We're just going right past it. We're not stopping. We're not stopping. Okay. Sort of like your alarm this morning.
Wow.
Nice, Bob. All right. So I guess you guys don't want any more college basketball.
We can go over to the women's and Caitlin Clark in Iowa getting screwed as well.
That's what I heard. I mean, I don't know the entire women's college basketball landscape. I'd be lying if I said I did. But I do know that Southern California, USC, has the best freshman in the nation who broke Caitlin Clark's freshman scoring record. Mm-hmm. And they're in the same bracket as Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
My ears are bleeding.
Well, I mean, for me, Caitlin Clark and Iowa playing LSU before they get to the Final Four.
That's stupid.
Bad move.
That's stupid.
bad for ratings.
Makes no sense. I will tell you this. I don't care about women's college basketball. For the most part, I don't care about women's sports. Sorry. That's just the way I'm built. It's the way God made me. What can I tell you? But I would tune in to a Caitlin Clark March Madness game over a men's, over any general men's game.
I'm not going to take it that far. I like watching Caitlin Clark, but when it gets to the NCAA tournament, I'm going to be tuning in.
Fair enough.
I don't have any. I got no allegiance to any of these teams, so I don't care.
Okay, let's go to the Spurs really quick. Okay. Since last we joined you, it's been an interesting week for the Spurs. They had a terrible loss against Houston, where they just, again, could not execute in the stretch run of the game.
Yeah.
They had a bad loss to Denver, but it's Denver. I don't even want to say a bad loss. They had a loss to Denver. It wasn't that bad, but Denver's Denver. And then Sunday night up in Austin, an absolutely awesome close to those Austin games, beating the Brooklyn Nets in overtime. And I saw some great things in that game from the Spurs that I'm actually quite excited about. Did you see any of the same stuff?
I don't know what you saw, but all I can tell you is that as I'm watching these games, you just continue to see the growth. You obviously, Wemby continues to excel in everything that he does. But the contentious and the thing that the headline for the Spurs is, when is this going to start to take off? That's what the fans have been so impatient here. It's unbelievable. I can't believe we're wasting a whole year of Wemby's career. Listen, they didn't know what he was, and they don't have the talent around him. That's difficult to point a finger at. But we're starting to see, everybody's been clamoring. I think everybody has, at least I have. When are we going to see the alley-oops one after another after another? Well, we finally saw a little bit of that Sunday night.
That's what I was going to say.
Think about this, folks. Think about the change that Wemby has brought to this team. Everybody has had to, and I'm sure this is not an easy transition, everybody has had to take a back seat to Wemby because of just who he is and what he brings to the table. So Wemby is now, in one season, has become the face of this franchise. Everything is to go through him. This team is all about Wemby when the season before, it wasn't about anybody. It was about the players that were there already. So I think it's been quite a change for all of that roster, and it's going to take some time.
I'm so glad you brought up the alley-oops. Walter, for the very first time, I was watching the game with my 8-year-old, and I said, Jackson, that's the best pass the Spurs have thrown all season. The Vassell alley-oop in the nut cutting, about 2 minutes left of the game.
Yep.
The one real quick on the left side to Wemby. Best pass thrown to Wemby all season long, particularly by Vassell, who is, I've criticized him on the show, not a good passer. He is a very good player. I like a lot about Devin Vassell, but he is a bad passer. And it's a roster full of untalented passers. But, oh my God, that's what we need to be doing. Get to the paint and then lob it up to the guy who's 7'5".
And Wally said this a bunch of shows ago, that putting a ball up for an alley-oop for Wemby is different than putting a ball up for an alley-oop for pretty much anyone else in the league.
100%.
You get to put it up higher. You get a lot more flexibility. So
nobody's ever thrown an alley-oop to a 7'5" guy on this roster before this season.
But my question is, how difficult is it? I could be the guy that throws the alley-oop. Are you kidding me? You don't have to be perfect because he's 7'100". You got to be kidding. That's what makes it so ridiculous. Why hasn't there been more alley-oops? I don't understand it, because you and I can give him an alley-oop pass that would be successful. I don't have to throw it as you just said, Bob, and I don't remember making that statement during any of these shows, but nevertheless,
you did.
You could throw the pass anywhere, and he's going to get it.
You have to throw it higher than the defender, and it's hard to gauge.
Which is easy.
It should be easy, but it's a little harder to gauge because Victor starts off at such a higher level than the other guys. You think you can just throw it to his hand, but really you want to put it a couple feet above his hand.
Just put a nice little arc on it, and he'll catch it and throw it down. That's what just drives me crazy. Why haven't they gotten better at this? That's the one issue I was thinking about this morning. It's almost like the Spurs were unprepared to accept Wemby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly looks that
way. Yeah, and it's a good thing that in the front office didn't spend anything on vets or free agents or draft capital to bring players around him for this first season before they knew what he was going to be. Man. Throw him out there, let him play his game, let him find his game, let Pop find his game, and let's spend some of that capital this offseason.
So it's interesting that you bring that up. Remember the team that did go out there with their nice young core and add a couple of veterans last summer? That was Houston, right? They brought in Van Vliet and Brooks, right?
Okay.
To try to bolster an already young but very talented roster in Houston. Alperen Şengün has blown up this year until he got injured. He has absolutely taken the leap into all-star caliber play. And look what it's got him, guys. Houston is 32 and 35, and they are 11th in the West. 11th. They're awful. They're not good.
No.
I mean, if you take those same veterans, Van Vliet and Brooks, and you put them on San Antonio this year, even with Victor Wembanyama, it doesn't make them into a 5 seed or a 4 seed. It's just too talented a Western Conference right now for them to make that kind of a leap that quick. Look, Jeremy Sochan continues to drive me apeshit. Even in the win on Sunday, Sochan misses Wembanyama on cuts constantly.
Yeah.
He is a miserable IQ player. Miserable. Huh. And we've been told that we were told out of Baylor that he was a high IQ player. He is not.
Yeah, but he's no different than the rest of those guys. They all seem to have such a difficulty blending in and working with Wemby and doing what the problem is. I don't know if this is the problem, but to me it seems like they are not they still want to be on the headlines of the show when they shouldn't be.
Yeah, I follow you there.
You know,
yeah.
This is the Wemby show, not the Sochan and Bissell and Wemby show. This is the Wemby show. You have to play the way he wants you to play. And like I said, that has to be a very difficult transition for those players. Hey, we were at the face of the franchise. Now we have to take a backseat to this guy who's not even from here. And
he's 19.
He's 19, yeah. And you know who the hell is he?
Yeah.
So,
but you're right. It is incumbent upon those guys to figure out how to play with Victor, not the other way around.
That's exactly right.
So Sochan played 6 more minutes in that game against the Nets. Do you know what the assist differential was between them? Wemby had 7 assists in that game.
Yeah, he did.
You know how many Sochan had?
Did he have 1?
4.
Okay. Yeah. No, Sochan is
to me, he's still a player. He might be frustrating. He's probably frustrating to you because you could see the talent that he has. He flashes signs of greatness, but it's just inconsistent.
Yeah.
But I think they're all in. The only two guys that are consistent on the team are Bissell and Wemby.
And
they're
it.
All a bunch of inconsistent players. And listen, nobody is off limits on that team other than Wemby. They could all be traded.
The trade that needs to happen for the Spurs is some sort of Sochan or Keldon Johnson to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey. Oklahoma City doesn't need Josh Giddey. They have a point guard in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's a very talented passer, one of the most talented passers in the game today. And I think he would be a perfect fit next to Wemby. This roster is devoid, and I know I've said this before, is devoid of players who are gifted passers. Maybe the most gifted passer on the whole freaking roster is Sidy Sissoko, and he doesn't see the floor, right?
Well, listen, I think you could become a better passer. I think that's not something that's born within you. I think you could, if you
I don't
work,
know, Walt.
I think if you can work on it, I think you could become a better passer.
I don't know. DeJounte Murray was a bad passer when he got to the league. He's still a bad passer now.
Yeah, but it depends on what you want to be. If you want to be a good passer, you could become a good passer. If you have no interest in passing the ball, then that's what happens.
I don't know, man. I think passers are made, not born.
Okay.
Born, not made.
Derek, I'll throw these two things at you NBA-wise. Derek, the trade for Derek White or the trade to send him to Boston may end up being a bad deal for the Spurs based on what Derek White has done. This is a player who got out of San Antonio and has flourished.
Yes. Why does that make it bad for San Antonio? The Spurs got good market value for him. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, but it looked like an incredible steal at the time. But now Derek White has kind of evened this trade out a little bit.
Derek White is a perfect player for the guys that are already in Boston, and he has melded tremendously because he's such a good on-ball defender and such a safe hand with the basketball.
But he'd be good here now, wouldn't he?
Oh, he'd be awesome here now.
So there you go. Yeah. The other point I will make is that. The Knicks are a dangerous basketball team, even without Julius Randle. They are just unselfish. They work harder than any. They're just so unselfish, the most unselfish team I've seen. They work their ass off, and they work hard every single game. They're a lot of fun to watch. The problem now is, as I heard this morning, OG Anunoby, who's had some elbow issues, now is going to be out for a little while again. So
yeah,
if they were healthy, they would be the co-favorites to come out of the East.
I hate the Knicks. I've always hated the Knicks, but I will say this is
because you hate.
I hate New York sports teams. I hate New York sports teams. Every single fucking one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the Knicks. Jealous. This is one of my favorite Knicks teams that's ever been put together. And yes, they are good. Real quick to wind up our stuff on the NBA, just a couple of quick standings observations.
Okay.
Golden State is 35-32. They're 10th in the West. That's three games over 500, and they're hanging on to the last play-in spot. On the flip side, the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference are 30-38 for 10th in the East. It's a huge difference. It's a five-game difference between 10 seeds from one conference to the next. And how bad is Atlanta? Like, it's really bad. They got a ton of talent on that team, and they don't win. They just don't fucking win. They're going to get blown up.
That the Murray Trey stuff just hasn't worked.
It doesn't work. They're not good enough. And nope. I think it's an indictment on Trae Young. That's why I don't want him on the Spurs, because he doesn't guard.
I wish I could care, but I just don't.
Anthony Edwards. We got to talk about Anthony Edwards. Last week, he had, I'm going to say, the best game-saving block in the history of the sport, hitting his head on the rim and the backboard at the buzzer and slamming it off the glass from above the freaking square. Are you kidding me? And last night, he put a poster on John Collins of the Utah Jazz. And John Collins is an athlete. John Collins can jump. And he went over him in a Blake Griffin, like, 2011 way.
Just that was iconic.
It was sick.
It was an iconic poster.
Yeah,
it absolutely was, and it should be on every wall in the country. It was unbelievable. I've never seen that was just we just as you see it on the internet, and I didn't see it live. You did, Jeff.
Yep.
As you see it on Twitter, the first thing I thought of was, oh my God, this is iconic, and 10 minutes later, it became iconic.
Yes.
Best dunk of his lifetime.
That's what he said
in a post-game interview. Yes. Yeah, best dunk of his life.
And it, look, he's had some nasty ones. I mean, that guy is a level one athlete in the world. He might be the future face of the NBA.
Yeah.
He has that kind of skill. And Minnesota is not to be trifled with. They're essentially in a three-way tie atop the Western Conference. OKC,
I don't trust them.
OKC, Denver, and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily trust them either. But I got to say, if they match up against OKC, they got way too much size for OKC. And if they match up with Denver, they've got the right kind of size to go against Jokic.
And Cat isn't back yet, right?
No.
Maybe they're a better team without him on the floor.
I think
I don't like Cat because I think he's lazy.
I think there's a lot of people in Minnesota who think they are a better team without Cat. He is not a good defensive player, and he takes a lot of shots away from Edwards, mainly.
See what happens there.
But yeah. Okay, that's all I got over in the Western Conference and the rest of the NBA. But do you want to do a little football real quick?
Sure.
Because I feel like we have to. Get to Cowboys in a second. I got to start with Justin Fields. I had no idea what the Pittsburgh Steelers were doing 10 days ago. Had no clue.
I still don't know what they're doing.
Going and getting Russell Wilson made no sense other than the fact that he's pretty much free.
Yep.
That's sort of decent. But, like, that Pittsburgh Steelers roster is a good one. They have good wideouts. They have a good defense. They have Mike Tomlin as their head coach. I'm a jealous. I don't love the Steelers, but I'm somebody who admires their franchise. They've been very good for a very long time.
Yep.
They go in, they get Russell Wilson. I'm like, what? Then they trade Kenny Pickett. What? Then they go get Justin Fields for a bucket of chips, a sixth round pick. Could be as high as a fourth, right? Depending on how much he plays. But it's a sixth round pick at this point.
It's a steal.
It's an absolute steal.
What a great job by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
100%.
I don't know what everybody else was watching in the NFL, but how did the Pittsburgh Steelers, and maybe this was true that Chicago wanted to send Justin Fields to a team that would help him out the most. Maybe that's how this all worked out, because there had to be a dozen teams in the NFL that would have made that a better deal than a sixth round pick.
They actually said publicly there was four other teams that were sort of knocking on the door. But I mean, once we started getting past the quarterback carousel, Fields' price went down and down and down.
Which doesn't
and
make
down
sense
and
to me.
Down.
It should have gone up. If everybody views him as still a project 1 year or 2 years away, then he's a backup. And like, I mean, shit, I'll take him anywhere.
So why wasn't he viewed as a guy you wanted? I don't understand that.
Walter, I watched the Bears. Yeah, he had some bad moments. He also had some moments where he looked fucking amazing.
And he has gotten better every single year that he's been in the league.
I agree.
That's the numbers point that out.
It's also the Bears.
I mean, it's also the Bears. Name me a great quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I mean,
there hasn't been one in years and years.
Jim McMahon? Yeah.
Not a good quarterback. Good leader.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Bears, I think this was a mistake by them. I would have stuck with Fields. I would have gotten my first round draft pick. Maybe I trade back, and then I get an absolute haul, surround him with great players, and then before you know it, I'm taking a big step.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to be interesting for the Bears is historically your number one overall draft pick for quarterback doesn't pan out, that there is somebody deeper in the draft that turns out to be a better pick. I'm looking at you, Bryce Young.
If you don't pick him and he becomes, you know, the next Pat Mahomes, you're fired.
No, absolutely. I mean, though,
Pat Mahomes wasn't picked first overall.
I mean, look at the quarterback from LSU.
No. Yeah.
And right now, according to the mocks that I'm seeing, JJ McCarthy is in the top 10 now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he keeps climbing.
Like I said, if you're the Bears GM and you don't take Caleb Williams and he becomes, as I said, Patrick Mahomes, you get fired.
That's right.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you're risking your job.
So that's what they did. That's what he decided to do.
And you're not risking your job if you're that GM and you take Caleb Williams because that's the no-brainer.
You still are. If Caleb Williams doesn't pan out, You're out of a job.
Yeah, now, you'll eventually get fired.
It's 3-4 years down the road.
Yes.
But, I mean, a little bit hats off to the Bears of going, hey, maybe this guy isn't working out. Let's ship him. And if we got to make room, we got to make room.
I think it was a horrible mistake only getting a sixth round pick.
I think they got basically a bag of beans. I mean, they got quite a bit less than the 49ers got for Trey Lance, trading him to Dallas, and which segues nicely into Dallas. Dak Prescott saved the Cowboys $4 million in salary.
That's it. That's all he did. Just $4 million. I saw that he was restructuring. You know, it comes up on your alerts. And I was like, oh, awesome. That could really help this team because, God, they're really not making any moves in free agency. And then I see that it just helps them for $4 million. Thanks a fucking lot.
He is going to get paid $55 million. If you're a Cowboy hater, you are in, I don't know, what euphoria.
Yeah.
Well, and Mike McCarthy is still getting paid, and Jerry Jones is still making money.
What are the Cowboys doing? Can I ask you that?
They haven't done anything.
Van Der Esch, well, yeah, except for lose important players. Van Der Esch retired yesterday. Tyron Smith to the New York Jets.
For nothing.
For nothing.
Like, the Jets got him for nothing. They made it. They made an interesting offer to him, and he took it.
This is the problem that I have with general managers in the NFL and in the NBA. When you have a guy who's coming into free agency, you got to take an opportunity to trade him before you lose him, because otherwise you lose him for nothing. The Cowboys lost Tyron Smith for nothing. Nothing. They could have re-signed him or extended him last year and then traded him this offseason if they really felt like he wasn't part of their future, Walter. Instead of losing him for nothing, it's such a stupid move.
He's only a steal if he plays. And the problem with Tyron Smith is he doesn't play. That's the problem the Jets have. All right, we got, and the Jets have redid their entire offensive line and looked terrific doing it. But the problem with Tyron Smith is he never plays. He's never healthy enough to play. Now he played, I think he missed all of two games last season. I think it was, or maybe whatever it was. I think he played 13 games or whatever. But the last two seasons before that, he played like a handful of games.
I realize he's in his 13th year. Injuries, they're going to take part. They're going to take a place in a guy's offensive line. It just happens. You want guys like Tyron Smith on your roster. If you're Aaron Rodgers, are you happy you got him or disappointed? You're thrilled.
Well, you're thrilled because of what was there previously. But let's not get crazy about it. Tyron Smith is over the hill at this point. He's still a very good player. But I think that Cowboys probably made the right move here.
I just think they should have re-signed him and then traded him. Get that sixth round pick, you know, whatever it is. You got to get something, not nothing. Lamb and Parsons still need to be re-signed renegotiated. I think that's really important this offseason. The Cowboys do not look like a team that's trying to build a winner right this second. They look like a team trying to maintain the status quo.
Yeah, but, I mean, depending on how you look at it, I mean, if you look at it as not the Cowboys, you look at it as a generic white-label football team. You look at their success over the last 3 years, regular season, okay. There's half of the teams in the NFL would love to have 12 win seasons 3 years in a row.
Absolutely.
And in all likelihood, they're going to be either a 10 win or an 11 win team this next season. And I said it coming out of that loss to the Packers. Don't talk to me until they make it to the playoffs. But it's because it's the Cowboys, not because it's an NFL football team. It's because it's the Cowboys. The NFL, and it's going to fucking hurt me to say this statement. The NFL needs the Cowboys to be relevant in the postseason.
No, they don't.
Why?
What is the NFL? The NFL doesn't need the Cowboys. Are you kidding me? The Super Bowl does enormous ratings whether the Cowboys are in it or whether they had three wins.
Oh, I don't want the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. I just want them to be relevant.
They don't need to be.
They're a joke. They are a joke every year going to the postseason.
But I think 12 wins a year makes them relevant. I mean, at least on the national stage. And then everybody gets to say, well, what are they going to do in the playoffs? And that makes it interesting for people.
Well, listen, it's all about their quarterback and whether he can make plays in playoff games. And to this date, he hasn't.
I just can't believe they haven't gotten him any help. I mean, I thought Derrick Henry was going to come. There was rumors left and right that Derrick Henry was in Dallas shopping for real estate. Derrick Henry winds up saying, really didn't even reach out to me.
I was actually a little bit surprised. I mean, as to what those salaries look like for those running backs. Saquon making significantly more money than Henry.
$12 million, right?
$12 million versus eight or nine for Derek.
Yeah, and the same for Austin Eckler. I mean, a lot of guys.
And
DeAndre Swift.
And I actually
all made less than what the tag number.
Yeah,
was,
though I actually I understand a little bit Saquon and Eckler because they're more in that Christian McCaffrey type
multidimensional
role. Multidimensional, yeah. Whereas, you know, Derrick Henry more traditional, even though
I wouldn't assign to any of those guys. And I think all of those teams that let those players go made the right decision. I wouldn't have paid them either, because you can go and get a draft pick in the fourth round and he could be just as good as any guy that you let go.
And that's the reason why the franchise tag is so low.
Yep. I would have been interested in Austin Eckler. I would have. I think catching out of the backfield, running between the tackles, I think he would have been interesting to me.
Saquon is the best out of all of those running backs with a free agent. But still, as a fan of the Giants, I had no problem with him leaving.
No, and the Giants were smart to let him go because they're not a team that's really pushing for a title.
No, nope.
They're a long way away. So let him go. Yeah. Let him walk.
I'm with you.
Any more NFL? Are we gonna
Though I got to see a San Antonio semi-pro football game on Saturday night.
That sounds terrible.
The San Antonio Titans.
San Antonio Titans. I've heard of them somehow.
Yeah, I mean, they're apparently pretty good in what they play. They won 38-18. They were up 38-0 with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Was that entertaining?
It was entertaining-ish.
Okay.
Well, if you're a professional football fan in this town, and you're a frequent user of the X or the Twitter, you certainly have noticed that...
The X or the Twitter?
Yeah.
How old are you?
The X or the Twitter, whatever you want to call it. The point is that if you use Twitter, you know that the San Antonio Brahmas have been all over your Twitter feed. All over it. My question is, do you care? And the tickets are as low as $28. And I thought, that's a shitload of money to go see somebody that you have no allegiance to. You don't know who's on the team. And you're going to pay out $20, $28 to go see that team play? Why?
If the concessions are equally underpriced over what it is for a real NFL football game, I'll go see it. But if a fucking hot dog is going to cost me $15, no.
I just have no interest in minor league football.
I don't either. Not anymore. But listen, it's gonna do well here. We know it will. And so there's that.
Okay. All right. You want to play the hits over there, Wally?
I'll play the hits over there.
Give it to me.
Sure. Let's start with this one. I thought this was interesting. Searches for the term VPN doubled in the state of Texas after Pornhub disagreed with the Texas government and blocked their own sites.
That's right. That's right. There's
yeah, you can't go to Pornhub.
I don't know much about it. Why not?
Why not what?
Why can't you go to a porn site?
It's
because the Pornhub, the site themselves, have blocked you from going there because Texas put in some law about ages and showing ID or something crazy like that.
Not that I know about this from personal experience, but Louisiana just did the same thing a while ago.
Yes, you do.
I mean, no. I mean, it's out there. I mean, they're putting age checks in front of it, and yeah.
I don't have a problem with age checks, but
it was a little bit different than that. But like, I think if you go to the website, because I tried to go, because when I saw the story, I said, "Oh, let me check this out."
You were only doing research.
So I go to Pornhub. I go to Pornhub. I think it's Pornhub.com. Maybe it's .org. Whatever that is. So you go there, and some letter comes up explaining to you why you can't go to the site. It's like, okay.
Interesting.
So to go, if you don't know what VPN is, that's basically a private network.
Virtual private network.
Yeah, where you can
pretend. That's what it stands for, virtual private network. That's
where you can pretend like you're out of state. Right?
There you go, yeah. Two more I got for you. I watched a little bit of the Taylor Swift concert. Two observations. First of all, she absolutely adores her fans. The second one is, I love that she doesn't push her sexuality onto us. I love that. She doesn't come out on stage dressed like a hooker with everything just... everything there for you to see. I hate that. That drives me crazy. It's a bad look for
young ladies.
For young ladies, and obviously she's got millions and millions and millions of young girls who will look up to her. And she is a terrific role model for young women today. Absolutely.
Should I watch it?
If she likes Taylor Swift, absolutely.
Okay.
And it's on Disney Plus, so you can watch the whole concert. I didn't listen to all of the stuff and watch all of the stuff because I don't know all of the music. But the first 25 minutes gave me enough of it to say she's a great role model, but and a terrific person as appears, and for everybody to get on her and Kelce was just stupid.
Of course.
Stupid. The last one I'll give you one is kind of, maybe, well, I'll just say it anyway. So Brett Cross.
You do this every week.
I do.
You put something down and you're like, I'm not going to say it. Oh, yes, I am.
I think it's important.
Okay.
Brett Cross is the father of Uzi Garcia, who was murdered during the Robb Elementary massacre. Okay. Well, this gentleman has been camping out in front of the Uvalde police station since March the 13th. He says he will stay there until Javier Martinez, a lieutenant, Staff Sergeant Edward Canales, and Detective Luis Landry are all removed from employment. Okay, there's that. If you would like to donate to the cause, it's at $Cross0524 on Cash App. So if you'd like to donate some money, as I am going to, by all means, $Cross, C-R-O-S-S, and then 0524 on Cash App.
Interesting. Good for him.
Yes, because they had those, I think we talked about it, so just a really difficult situation there in Robb Elementary in Uvalde. 2 years later, it hasn't gotten any better. And they, those folks there, the parents and the families of the murdered children, haven't gotten the satisfaction that they want. They want heads to roll, and they haven't gotten any of that. So there's that. Did you just go off the mic?
I think my mic.
Oh, there you go.
There it is. All right. Sorry.
That's all I got for you today.
All right, boys and girls. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Happy NCAA tournament.
Happy fill out your brackets.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be back with more of that next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Like and subscribe.
What he said.
How y'all feel out there? Do you feel good? I said, do you feel good? Come on. The groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move.